Welcome to We Like Dota, special interview edition. I'm Sam, the plaid pirate. Joined with me, you know him from TI, Midas Mode. Maybe you watch Lorgasm. It's Sir Action Slacks. Hello.
Hello, you plaid pirate. What's going on, brother?
Hey, man. Thanks. Glad you could be here. Doing us a huge solid.
All right, a little background on this interview.
Yeah.
I was invited by these wonderful people to join them at 9 a.m. this morning, to which I completely ditched. The current time is 1. Why did I ditch 4 hours late? I actually stayed up all night playing Artifact till 5:30 in the morning. I forgot, and then I woke up about literally 2 minutes ago. So I'm in my underwear, I'm on my computer, and I have my breakfast being made right now.
I ordered a waffle.
A waffle will be delivered during this scenario.
True gamer stays up till 5 a.m. playing Artifact with one another player?
That's correct. There's only 4 of us left, and we're creating the Elite Four from Pokemon. We're training all day.
The way to look at that is that you're a top 4 player.
That's correct. I've been top 4 a lot of my life.
What else?
Second place TI. Top 4 Artifact.
Second place TI.
That's correct. Substitute for Digital Chaos when they won second at TI6.
What a player.
I taught Misery everything that he knows.
That's right. Oh my god. So, how'd you even start playing this terrible game? Because every day I get flamed, and every day I'm like, why do I do this?
Oh, yeah, I know. I know that feel, brother. I started playing Dota 2 100% based off of greed.
Greed?
Back in the day, I played Team Fortress 2. I was addicted to it. And I was standing in line when the orange box came out at ye old local GameStop. Because I love Team Fortress 2. So I played that game like crazy. And turns out that on the PC they were giving away hats so you could customize it, the new Manconomy update. So I went out and bought a really bad laptop, and I tried to beef it up so I could play TF2, use it as a desktop. Then, months go by, I'm an esteemed hat trader. I'm having the best time of my life. My stock market is going 4 refined, 4 stout Shanko. Things were going crazy. And then somebody said, there's this game, Dota 2, they're having this event, Dire Tide. And if you just play it, they'll give you sets, and you can trade 3 Dota sets for a TF2 hat. Holy shit, I thought. So I jumped on, played Dire Tide. It was the first Dota game I ever played. Got my hats, and then I realized I was super bad at this new game. It's awful. It kicks the shit out of me. I'd never played anything like this that I was so bad at, and I couldn't take that as a gamer. Never experienced that before, so I was like, I'm going to get good at this game. I'm going to be the best. What is this hero? Pudge? Who is Dendy? I'm gonna be Dendy, and here I am. So yeah, it sucked me in, and I hate it. I used to be so good looking, full head of hair. I used to be so fit. I used to be a lover, a fighter, and now I'm pathetic. So thanks a lot, Gaben. Here we are.
So you got in it, and you were like, "I'm gonna be good at this." And how long did that fuel you? Because I feel like, you know.
Oh, to this very day, brother, I'm still bad. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm pretty sure all of us are bad. I don't know. Dota players are a unique breed, you know? I always tell people, people ask why do people play Dota. They're very much like Dark Soul players, right? And they just like that punishment. They like feeling like, this is so hard. I'm getting completely shit on, and I'm going to shit on somebody else today. And that's this who we are. I mean, you have to be sick. You have to have some kind of mental problem to be a Dota player, to enjoy pro Dota, to play pro Dota, because it takes like 1,000 hours to even be competent. And what other activity does it take 1,000 hours to be competent? Undersea welding or something? I mean, you get paid $500,000 to be a welder. You don't get shit for being a Dota player, except for misery and baldness. So, yeah, there's something wrong with us. That's it.
But you came up with some pretty creative ways of fending off the flame.
That is correct. You know, it's hard to make fun of somebody that you think is actually insane. So when I first started off, everybody's picking on me, so I started doing those stupid voices to take away from the pain of being a newbie and to make people laugh. And then, that worked out really well. If anyone's ever picking on you guys, just feign insanity. They'll leave me alone.
I mean,
it works in prison.
Oh, Jesus. It worked out pretty well, because I heard the story, I think, you did the videos, right? You did the crazy voices, and then, like, your friend was just like, yo, dude, upload them.
Yep, he sure did. His name is Lieutenant Burnside, best friend in real life, still play with him every day today. Nice. And, yeah, man, it was, I lived a very normal life. I was working at Outback Steakhouse as a waiter for 8 years, 18 credit hours in college, 2 jobs, and we worked together in the back. He was the cook, I was the server, and we played video games every night after work. And I escaped that hellscape. Every day I used to drive to work just fantasizing about careening my car off the road. And then Dota saved my life, thank God. But yeah, it's been an incredible ride. I'm super thankful for everything. I mean, my whole life I've been pretty poor. I had like $200 in my bank account for a good 24 years. And then life started taking off with this. Told my boss I was going to take 2 weeks off and see if I could stream. He said, okay, I'll see you in 2 weeks, dumbass. Weeks. And then I didn't even quit. I just never returned. I was a manager. I just faded from sight.
That's a good quitting story. Any other good stories from that Outback, that one Outback for 8 years?
Yeah. I used to play the didgeridoo there. I took one off the wall, and I played it for the customers. I taught myself how to do it, and my boss got so mad that I never returned, and I was his manager. He took it, and they brought it in the back parking lot, and the employees smashed it angrily. So their rage that I abandoned them.
Wow. Oh, incredible. So your stream took off. This is very interesting. I read that you created an impossible goal for yourself, which was to go to TI4?
Yeah.
So how did you even think of doing that?
Well, it was a weird situation. So I'm making these stupid voices videos and my computer breaks and I need a $200 power source. So I did a little Indiegogo for the people that were like supporting my stupid voices videos. I went to go slave away at Outback Steakhouse. I had a horrible day. I made $20.
Oh,
and I come home 5 hours later and there was like $12,000 in the Indiegogo.
Oh,
and I asked for $200. So I felt... it was more money than I have ever imagined, not to mention had. So I thought, there's two things I could do with this. I could piss it away, and I could, just go buy a bunch of Frabache eggs and eat them. Or I could take this money and see if it could fund potentially like a kickstart for a new life. So I contacted a bunch of people from the community, and I said, that every single penny of that Kickstarter would be used in a way to make content. And I thought about how could I utilize this right now? And it just so happened that the International 4 was coming up. And I thought I would go and show off this weird thing called esports. Because, of course, I was a new Dota player at the time. I had never watched an esport. So I thought maybe I'll make a video thing about me just jumping into this world that I have no idea about. So I did. I bought tickets, camera guy, editor, sound, everything. We went there, we filmed my TI4 content, and it blew my mind, dude. I had never seen anything like that. I'd never been to a gaming convention. I had never done anything. Like, I've never seen esports. And I went in, like, and after I experienced just the fans and the atmosphere and the rush of the game and everything, I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to work. This is what I want my life to be. So after that, I made the impossible goal that I wouldn't just report on it. I would be part of it, and I would work towards that goal. And then 2 years later, TI6, I did it. So that was nuts. What a ride.
What a ride.
It was all thanks to the community, because I have no marketable skills.
Oh, stop. That's not true. Extremely likable.
Well, it's all an act. I'm actually a miserable gremlin. But no, I mean, it's like, I don't know. A lot of guys, I say that, you know, Odie Pixel just has natural talent. Toby Wan, natural talent. I mean, they're just amazing. The things that they can do. Guys like Merlini are geniuses. Purge, genius. And it's kind of, they all deserve to be where they're at because they have these incredible talents that they work really hard at, whereas I feel like I'm very much born from the community as a kind of one of them. You know, I just happen to luck out as far as I see it, and it's, yeah, it took some work afterwards, but anybody that has any kind of success is lying to you if they don't say there's a modium of luck that allowed them to get there.
Like, true.
Odie Pixel's big cast with Purge, a 3-hour cast, he'd been grinding for like 2 years before that. Nobody gave him the kind of day. I mean, he's the B-cop of our generation. Get out there, B-cop. One day, B-cop, you'll get there.
But I think that's super cool that you were willing to put yourself out there and get out of your comfort zone and be like, you know what? I want this thing, and I'll just go, and I'll hire an editor, and we'll do it. That takes some doing.
It's pretty easy when you have nothing to lose. When you're like miserable at Outback Steakhouse and you're in college for a neuroscience degree that you've fallen out of favor with, you've fallen out of love with, and you're single. Yeah, it's pretty easy to give up everything and leave it behind when it's all garbage. So, I don't know. That is a nice message, though, that I do tell people. Some people, you know, they'll message me and say, hey, my life sucks, and be like, well, guess what? If your life sucks, you have nothing stopping you from dropping everything and getting a new life. F it. I mean, it's garbage. Anyway.
No, I think that's cool. So, Minus Mode.
Yes!
Let's talk Minus Mode.
You really think the fans will come to a land, brother? Oh, sorry. I quote that pretty much every day in every game that I play with my friends. There's nothing better than playing Artifact and quoting Sir Sadim.
Oh my god. I gotta say, I saw the trailer. It popped when I was at work. I was sitting at my cube, and I'm like, oh yeah, put it on my headphones. And that stupid voice.
You can't do that.
Oh my god. I was like, dude, I was trying to like muffle my laughs. It was terrible.
Oh no.
I was dying. It was awesome. It was great.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
It was so good. So yeah, Minus Mode. Well, let's start with Minus Mode 1. I mean,
yeah.
So you put that whole thing together.
Yeah, it was a marathon. Of course, Moonduck Studios is a great resource, but I was the project lead for that. Came up with a conceptual design for that, and basically any decision that went through that tournament was me and one of my friends at Moonduck figuring out how that was going to work and scheduling it. And man, was it a gigantic pain in the ass! What a nightmare that was. It was legitimately working every day for 5 months. Put on this stupid idea, and it bit me in the butt, man. I mean, I didn't stream, I didn't make content, I tried to go to as little tournaments as possible. It was just a huge financial hit, it was a huge community hit, all for this goal of this crazy idea of I want to make a tournament. And by God, I wouldn't have traded it for anything. What a fun experience, what a super informative experience about what it takes to do something in esports and like the effort. So yeah, I have a sick personality. It's something's wrong with me. I whenever I feel like I'm good at something, I lose all interest in doing it, because it's not fun anymore. It's always fun to go into a situation and wake up and be like, what the fuck am I doing? Oh no. I could tell you a quick story,
please. At
TI6, they hired me as a interviewer, my first TI. And they said I was going to do all the post-match interviews. So I show up with this giant binder. It's like this thick book of every question for every single person, et cetera, et cetera. Literally 15 minutes before the show open at TI, a Valve guy comes up and he says, hey, you want to be the stage host? And I said, what? And then he said, yeah, we're going to go on in 10, meet Casey up at the up at the rafters. And I said, what? But I'm the interview. And I had literally like 10 minutes to be like, okay, you're stage host now, make it happen. And in that moment, it was truly like, I just felt home. I mean, it was just good. I just, because I was so prepared. I was like, oh, I'm going to nail it. I'm going to ask this guy this, this, mm-hmm. this. This is going to be good. And in that moment of sheer terror, I just got like the biggest smile. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be awful. Let's go. Let's go.
Chaos is a ladder.
Yeah, it was just, I love chaos. So whenever I get really good at something, when I'm like, okay, I am clearly the best X there is. I don't want to do it anymore. So that's really where Midas Mode came from, is because I got sick of going to events. I got sick of being in front of the camera. I got sick of all that. And I wanted to know what it was like to be behind all that stuff. So, yeah, that was a huge goal. Also, the community shit, too. I still, to this day, think that tournament organizers have no fucking idea how to utilize their community correctly. And it's, sometimes they do. They have really nice innovations. But at other times, it's just like, you have all these people that want to be part of this product that can be. It's not like freaking football where your 50-year-old dude is sitting on his couch at home. I mean, they're on the internet. They can interact right. with your program. They can change your program. They can make your program. Why don't people utilize that in this medium? So yeah, that's always been a huge part of it, too, is finding ways to innovate. It was one of the first tournaments that had Layearth and all that stuff, that those cool innovations too, with those guys, which are amazing. So, yeah, that was a huge part of it too. It's kind of like the dream deal of where I would want to see esports be if they would stop trying to emulate boring sports that are fading out from fucking TV, which no one's watching TV anymore. Why are we trying to emulate NBA? NBA's dying, dude! Shaq's gonna die!
It's funny because anyway. if you listen to the narrative around NBA, folks get super excited about NBA and they're like, look how cool NBA Twitter is. Look how like, you know, ingrained it is with the kids. And it's like, yeah, that's fucking how being a fan should be.
Like, yes, yes. The fans should. We're done with those days of the like old CEOs sitting in the desks trying to think about what the kids are doing, because the kids have the internet. They could be at a meeting if you would like them to. So the more people that are understanding that, the better. And of course, in every interview, I get to shit talk Overwatch.
Let's this go. Is another,
this is another problem with shit talking Overwatch. Their talent is so freaking funny. I know those guys so well. All the Overwatch guys are hilarious. They are some of the funniest dudes I have ever met. But they just got these shackles on them where they're not allowed to have a good time because they have to be on Disney XD and shit and just like, oh, no cursing, no bad jokes, everyone. And they have so much money, so much dedication, so much passion, and they're just shackled. So, yes. More Valve shilling for me. Thank God we're in Dota 2, bro.
Free Overwatch.
Yes. Free all of us. Free E-stories. All of us. Be who you know you are. None of us came from, you know, fucking TV broadcasting. We're like, I'm going to change the world of esports through TV broadcasting. We came from waking up at 1 in the afternoon because we stayed up at 6 a.m. completely undressed in our underwear gaming all night. Be who you is, boy. Because that's the future. The meek will inherit.
The meek shall inherit, indeed.
Anyway, sorry about all this. I'm pretty out of it, right?
No, this is what we want. Kind of give the people what they want. From the first Midas Mode, you said, you know, it was kind of a show, like working every day. Woo. People, you know, I've read in some places that like teams are trying to pull out at awkward times, like.
Oh, how, sweet Jesus.
How do you
sweet
even Jesus, keep yes. that all together?
Oh, I didn't. It was a nightmare. We had some of our top teams literally 6 hours before the tournament be like, oh, we're not doing this. Like, what? But we start soon. All right, 24 hours before the tournament, one of our top teams tried to pull out. 6 hours before the tournament, we lost a like $10,000 sponsor. and... It was the only way that tournament could happen was with someone killing themselves to make sure that happened with scheduling, organizing everything, because it was like, if you remember, it was the first year of the DPC too.
Right.
Which had like, what, 27 events or some shit?
Oh my god.
It was like, the only way to fit that thing in, half of our teams had like two members at WESG, so they're like, so we only have two dudes from the actual team, and I'm like, oh, don't worry about it, man, your game's in an hour, I'll play for your team, we'll make it happen. But it was just like, it was constant terror and fear that the thing would never happen. And it's, I don't know, I mean, when it's your baby too, that just adds to it more. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, whoa, oh no. ESL 15 is in trouble. It's like, this is mine. This is my baby, and it's dying. Right. And I did it.
You did it.
It was crazy. It was nuts, but it was a ton of fun, and it was super rewarding too. I've been making content for a long time, you know, and sure. Making one video, it's really nice because you get to put this thing out. People get to watch, and they say, "I enjoyed that thing." Mm-hmm. But man, making an experience, making an environment rather than just something, one thing, making something that has so many different parts attached to it, it's so much more rewarding. And it's one of the reasons that I really approached Valve for the last TI was, being on camera is fun, it's great, but you're only presenting one piece of candy. Building a show, making the candy store, oh my god, it feels so much better, it's so much more cool.
Yeah, it sounds great. Anyway. What do you think you learned from the first Midas that you'll kind of learn from, and hopefully the second one will go a little bit smoother?
Well, one thing that I learned is definitely put time ahead. We made that entire tournament about 3 months or 4 months, I think.
Oh, what?
I think so. Conceptually, it took like 6-8 months or something. I had to think of the idea. I had to really... It's such a weird thing to say that you're working on something conceptually. Yeah. It was literally me just sitting there, like, playing video games thinking. That took, like, months of just being like, how would the bracket look? What would be the optimal way to do this and that? But when it came, like, to hard work, it was, like, good 4 months of just from beginning to end. Like, we called our first sponsor 4 months before it happened. So the first thing I thought is, okay, for the next one, really give yourself some time. Give yourself a year, 9 months. I did not do that. I have just started work on it again. So I'm trying to get this one ASAP. But I don't know. What I learned, just a lot of different things about how sponsorships work in the real world, how teams work in the real world, what fan expectation is like. A lot of the things went exactly how I thought they would. Mostly the surprises were stuff like scheduling and people pulling out. But when it came to like conceptual design, a lot of that stuff went exactly as I thought. So for this one, I hope to learn a lot more because it's a LAN. On the first Midas mode, it was a online, which eliminates most of the heavy problems. But this time we're going to have people come, which should be an insane challenge, which should be something that I'm going to learn a lot because I'm definitely going to F up a lot on this one. Sure. It's kind of good, though, because at least I don't have teams coming, which is going to save my ass. If I get to worry about fans, then all I get to worry about is making sure they have a good time, which is relatively easy. As a fan, I know what they want, so it should be okay.
Any tidbits you want to drop about, I don't know, what we can expect for the second one?
Yeah, I think, the reason people are probably the biggest question they have is, you know, why aren't the teams coming? Why would you hold a LAN without teams? That seems pretty stupid. But really, it's not for this one. So we don't have any teams showing up in person to this LAN. You're literally going to come and just hang out with the talent and watch the games together and have a good time like that. Question, why do that? And personally, I think for a tournament like this that's designed around the fan base, inviting teams is a waste of money. I mean, it would probably cost a good $200,000 to get 8 teams there for a week, so that you can like smell Arteezy's fucking Axe deodorant from the stands. When I could be funneling that $200,000 into shit for the fans, like goodie bag stuff, like investments in a decent arena, investments in actually cheap food.
Right.
So this really is kind of a tournament that I want to make that is actually designed for the fans. Everyone says that their tournament's for the fans, but they're all full of shit. Their tournament's for making money. This one is not about, you know, every sponsor that I have there, I want them to actually sell shit to fans that is good. I want the fans to have a good time. My dream is everyone is sitting in the audience wearing a top hat, a cane, a monocle, and throwing tomatoes at the screen. That is what I want. I want to make something for the people that are actually going.
Yeah.
Because North America has been forsaken by donuts.
Tell them. Tell them.
Animals. We went to the events. We all went. T.I., Captain Straft, all the Dream Hacks, and now you left us, Dota 2. You left us. You ain't leaving me, baby. America! I know we've had our tough times in the last 2 years. We've had some strange decisions that we've all made as a country, but we still love Dota, okay?
That's
where
right.
Where are you going?
That's
come
right.
back.
Come back. Don't leave. No, I think it's a super fun idea. I mean, so I have some experience in like traditional sports. So like going to watch parties for like soccer is totally normal. Like there are generally like bars that everybody goes to watch games, and it's really freaking fun. So why not do that with a bunch of gaming nerds? Like, I'm down. Nobody else is gonna watch Dota with me. It's really sad.
That is sad. And it's kind of the strength of our community too. You know, every interview I get to shit on the Overwatch League, but you can you can throw as much money as you want into something and pray that it works out by throwing a bunch of billions and tricking people into enjoying it. But we don't have that problem in Dota. In Dota, we make TI. We have made this whole scene. It was a mod, and we have built it based on our passion, stipulations, and insanity what it is today. So I don't know why no one's ever done a tournament as a direct celebration of the people that have made it happen. So that's kind of the gist of what this tournament is in my brain.
Nice.
So we'll see if it works. That will make it feel extra bad if it's awful. No, I can't even say, well, we were just trying to sell out. I mean, what can he do? They caught us. It's like, oh, my love letter. It's burning.
No.
I don't feel good, but what can you do?
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Thanks, buddy.
Any idea on where it's going to go down, or you don't even know yet?
No. Conceptual stages okay. Right now. We're desperately on the hunt. I've been contacting colleges around the U.S. already.
Nice.
Trying to see who wants to host it is the current plan.
Nice.
Got a few offers from some organizations as well that are trying to break into the Dota 2 scene. I'll say places I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be in L.A. or Seattle.
Perfect.
Because why would I spend all my goddamn money on a warehouse that cost me 8 times as much as I could having it in some kind of college in Iowa or something?
I'll do a shameless plug here. I live in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's cheap. It's great. Cheap and great.
I've been there in Fallout 3.
Right on.
Yeah. It was the pit. It's awful over there. But, I'm looking to actually have a place that has not had a major tournament before. I want a real American town, like seriously, like your Iowas, your Pittsburghs, your Chicagos. I want something that is cheap for people to fly to.
Cheap.
Seriously.
Cheap.
No, I really do. Now, it's not about my cheap, it's about your cheap. If I actually want people from around the nation to fly to this place, I want them to get a quality in hotel room for $30 a night, you know? That's a problem that a lot of people have in esports. They think like, oh, we have this huge event, we need to hold it in Times Square, New York. No, you don't. We're gamers. We sit in our underwear playing games. I don't give a shit. I want it to be less expensive. So, that's experimental. I don't know how people will feel about that. A lot of people say like, oh, I'll go to this event because maybe, you know, we can have some fun doing X after we go there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe we'll pick a place that's not the coolest, but is still affordable.
I like it. I like it. So you also did like a TI internship, internship. I can't talk. You're a stooge now? What is this?
I wish. Nah, that was, so I basically contacted Valve and I said, look, TI7, it won't great. Is that bad to say? No, I said, like, you know, TI7 was a solid event. It was something that happened, and everything happened. But we were at a critical time in Dota 2's history. When TI fails, I really do believe that Dota, you know, Dota takes a hit because it's a representative of everything that we are. TI6 was this magical, incredible event full of innovation and stuff. TI7 was this, you know, kind of direction away from that for more professionalism, more put on your suits and straighten up and get all the pro players on the panel and let's have some serious talks about the international. Like, oh, God. And I think everyone's enjoyment level of that kind of reflects that. So I kind of approached them and I said, guys, I want to... here's these two tournaments that I put on. I put on Midas Mode, I put on Captain's Draft. I know what I'm doing when it comes to fan interaction and innovation. And I said, I want to work on content. I want to work on planning the show. I want to work on the show flow. I want to work on the intro ceremony. I'm passionate about the international. And Valve is this incredible company that actually understands that people will work hard on something that they care about rather than if you make them work on something. It's how they work. So my waffle's here. I'll
hey,
be right back.
Get it.
See you in a second. Huh? You should sell it out while I get my waffle.
We'll do it live.
Oh, I got it.
Woo!
I acquired the waffle. All
right, tell me more about the waffle. Where's it from?
No. I don't want to advertise. No one's giving me any money.
Oh, true.
It's from a place called The Delicious Egg next to my house. It's snowing in Colorado, so I decided not to leave my base. Anyway, so where was I? Yeah, Valve is it's a company that actually understands people want to work on stuff. People will work on stuff they want to. So I just approached them and said, hey, I want to do this. Here are my ideas. Here's what I think could make good content. For the first time ever, we know what teams are going to TI, which has never happened before.
Huge.
So that is huge. Can you imagine flying out to go film something with Na'Vi 4 months before the international and then they don't make it and you spent like $80,000 filming a segment with them?
Feels bad.
That would feel bad. So I said, for the first time ever, we know who's going. We have a new venue. And it was kind of a cost-benefit scenario, right? If TI8 failed in a new location, in like this smaller venue, in this different world, I mean, I think Dota would get hit really hard after the fallout from TI7. I mean, it's okay to have a new experimental tournament like 7 where you're trying to take things more serious.
Mm-hmm.
But if 8 also fails too, then you're talking about the decline of Dota as a whole. So I thought, all my projects, everything I'm doing. I want to go save Dota. As egotistical as that sounded. But yeah, and it was... that's where my insane headspace was. But man, things I learned from working with them for months was... It ruined my life. It changed my life, but it ruined my life. It's just like, imagine meeting the dude that is the most impressive dude you've ever met. The smartest person you've ever met, with the most accomplishments, where every time you talk about something, they not only know what you're talking about, they have 4 better ideas. And this is the guy that's serving you a coffee in the cafeteria. That's what it's like to hang out with Valve dudes. Like, every single one of them is the best in their field at everything they do. And then they're all on this equal footing where, like, they'll hear you out your stupid ass idea and be like, well, I believe that a meme dance concert would be available to be put on. You know what I'm saying? So it was eye-opening. And it was extremely humbling, too, because at that time, you know, I thought, like, man, I just came off TI6. I'm like, that was a really good event for me. I was in a really good place. And I was just on Team DC. Like, things are up. I'm like, at the top of the world right now. Then you meet these people that humble the f*** out of you, and they're just like, a whole different world of people that are better at you than anything you could have ever seen, and you're just like, I'm garbage. I might be good at, I'm the top tier cockroach. We got some lions out here, and it ruined my life. I have always, I think about it every day, is how I want to be that person that is this like incredible two steps above anything that I am, where I'll never be. And I love it, man. As I told you, I'm super motivated to do the impossible. And, oh, God, I just still get the shakes thinking about what it was like working there.
I'm super glad you had a positive experience. And I think this will help answer my next question, because on my podcast, our podcast, we've critiqued Valve pretty hard about kind of the lack of leadership regarding kind of international events that are kind of tough to deal with for Valve, whether it be racism, visa denials, these types of things. How do you see Valve addressing those kind of modern issues?
Oh, yeah, they're awful at that. Absolutely terrible at that kind of stuff. Well, I mean, so here's the system, right? I mean, how many people work for Valve? Like 300, 400 or whatever? So your basic system is, we're going to hire the smartest people in the world. We're going to not make them have any authority over each other. We're going to make them work on what they want to work on, and the best products will be made.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always been right about that, is they literally make the best because they allow themselves the time and the energy and the people to do it. That's all well and good until you have a problem. You see, right. That's where leadership is good. Leadership is good when someone comes down, they flop on their old D on the table and say, listen, John, fix this. Like, that's, oh, yes, sir. When you don't have a, oh, boy, yes, sir, in a company, then you get problems where it's like, how do we make a statement about drama?
Right.
Because if we all have to talk to each other and everyone has to figure out as a team what the best thing to do, that takes time. That takes energy. So how do you just have your community manager go out there and be like, hey, guys, don't call each other racist words, when you have to have the whole team talk about it? So while their structure is extremely good at making things like the Dota scene, at making things like these great games that they make, it's just awful when it comes to quick decisions. And sometimes in this company, when you're working on this world stage, when you have to do things like make quick, intelligent decisions, is difficult. The thing I always thought about Valve is, like, it's, they always have it right, but in a weird way where you wouldn't think that it's right. It's like right if you didn't include stupid people. It's just weird. Look at Artifact. May I talk about Artifact for a moment?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Artifact is the greatest card game there is. Bar none. The gameplay is the best. But it failed because it didn't have stuff for stupid people. When you want to play Artifact, it is the best game. It is, has the least amount of RNG, it has the most depth, it has the most strategy. It's amazing. I love it. But at the same time, there's no hats. There's no leaderboard. There's no big flashy thing. When I have more than 15 damage and I hit a card, my character doesn't go, it doesn't have stupid. And
right.
As a stupid person, I like stupid. It's key.
Yeah.
I like to see that, you know, that little lever that I press on as the rat. It's who I am. It's what I'm bred to do. And it's like they designed that entire game around, oh, the gameplay's so good.
Yeah.
Everyone will enjoy it. But in reality, there's not stuff for stupid people. And that's how a lot of times Valve thinks. They think this is the optimal way to do it. This is the smartest way to do it, and this is how we'll do it. But then sometimes they forget the stupid equation. And guess what? We're all stupid. That's so, of course. I don't know, man.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's all good. I mean, the company just has huge faults. But when it comes to gaming companies, I mean, come on, we've seen what happened with Blizzard in the last year and a half. We saw what happened to my boys, Bethesda, who have never done wrong. They've never hurt us before, and they cut us so deep this year. I mean, in this world where, like, EAs and everyone's just shitting us, I mean, I think out of everything, Valve's doing what they can, and they're doing it the best at anybody. But everyone's called me a shill lately. So I'll take it. You do have to be paid to be a shill, you know. Nobody's paying me. Somebody pay me.
I think that's a really important point, though, that kind of the inherent structure of the company is, on the one hand, what gives it its greatest strength, you know, the community, the the easy sharing of ideas between employees, the promotion of, you know, ideas based on merit. But when it comes time to make quick decisions, it's not able to really also, hold up.
Yeah, when it comes time to be accountable too, I think that that's also an issue. Because I think I like Valve so much because it, I know what it's like. I've been in there. I've worked on projects where I'm super passionate about it. I put out the project and then I say, oh, well, that was fun. What's next? And you see that so much in their products, right? I mean, the workshop is one of those. The like the custom game communities, when they came out with Overthrow and 10v10, you, every time you're thinking, oh, this is the next thing. This is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, well, that was fun making that. And that's what happens when you only make stuff based on people's passions, because passion moves and it changes and it evolves. And someone can't be passionate about something all the time. And it's that problem in like hard accountability of saying like, yo, we made the workshop. I don't care if you don't want to work on the workshop anymore, but let's not have Valve Free Dragon Claw Hook as the top three things on it. And John, this is your job. I don't want to do that. Well, I don't care, John. You can't do that at that company.
And sounds like a job for interns.
Why? But I mean, then you also have their mythos too, which I think that they're a little caught up in. I mean, Valve is sometimes very afraid to make mistakes. And, you know, because they have this mythos as this, like, you know, godlike game company that makes only the best in the world. And then it's like, how do you join someone into that for the grunt work? I mean, you can't just have like Johnny intern over there because he's going to tweet something and then it will spoil the image of Valve. No, don't give BSJ $5,000 and tell him that you like his stream. You're ruining Valve. it's this double-edged sword where it's they have to keep their mythos of who they are and what they do while at the same time trying to have all these problems in a world that they didn't necessarily ever design to be part of. Can you imagine where Dota 2 would be if Valve had an esports division? If it just had a dedicated guys that didn't work on Dota and TI, but just TI?
Right.
I mean, Jesus, it'd be like BlizzCon. It'd be crazy. But at the same time, everyone there is expected to be the best in their field and be usable in a bunch of different places. So I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird, but it also creates the beauty that we know. So it's got to be good. I don't know.
It is what it is, for sure.
Thank God I don't work for Riot.
Oh, no.
Then I'd have to grab people's asses when I was at work. I don't want to do that. Jesus.
All right. Last topic here. I don't want to keep you all day, man. I feel bad.
Bro, I don't care. I got work after this. I don't want to make no despacitos.
You got waffles
talk
to eat.
To me.
You got
my waffles.
You got things
all right,
to
what's
do.
Up?
Lorgasm. I love Lorgasm.
The lore.
The lore. Nobody talks about the lore. So where I don't even know where to start with this. I just want to say I'm so glad it exists because.
Oh God!
Where, like, how do you think of this stuff? Because it's pretty detailed.
It is. Well, that's the thing is that there. I don't know who it is, but somebody at that company. You could tell like 18 different people wrote the lore.
Yes. Yes.
And after you know being there for a while, you could totally tell someone's like, "All right, release that set." Oh, what wrote the lore? Mel Kitty writes the lore. Okay.
Well, you can tell even with the patch notes that different people write like each description. Like there's no continuity. Like they use different terms.
At the same time, it's all really good too. Especially because it is that Dark Souls thing where like you get to fill in the blanks with your own head. And the more that the less that's presented to you. And the more that you get to create yourself is what makes it fun, which makes, for me, the lore of Dota 2 extremely fascinating because you have this 9 years of people basically like, it's almost like SCP. It's like people writing their own thing and submitting this to this universe without checking with anybody else. And they're just like, hey, here's an idea. The elders of the Mount Clagor. And you're like, what the f*** is that? and it's just coming out. And it's just like 9 years of all this lore that is kind of connected and trying to find out what they were thinking when they made it. It's so funny because when you compare actually lore from the game Dota 2 to like Artifact, where they actually have a dedicated lore guy who is building and crafting that universe, it's just insane how much more answers you get and how much more like story driven it is. But at the same time, it's a little less fun because it's you can't fill in the blanks. When a guy tells you, you know, Legion Commander is f***ing a goat, you're just like, oh, okay. Oh, no. You don't get to make that discovery. You're just like, oh, gross. You know? So it's I don't know. It's something that I've always been really weird when it comes to lore. I'm obsessed with it. The saddest thing about my life is every night when I can't sleep, I open up lore wikis for games I've never played, and I read it for like 3 hours. It's awful. I have no idea how I'm a member of society. I know all the lore. This week, I've spent every night reading about Kingdom Hearts lore for like 6 hours a night. I have no interest of playing that game. I have no interest of watching anything about that game, and the lore is awful. It's f***ing awful. Have you ever played Kingdom Hearts, bro?
No.
It's awful, dude. They're trying to combine Disney and Final Fantasy. There's one part, spoiler alert, for a 10-year-old game. Your main character gets turned into a heartless, which don't even get me started on what that actually means. And then it says, somehow, his friend was able to turn him back. Somehow! It's been 9 f***ing years! And their best example of how they got out of that corner in the writing is just somehow! It's never explained! It's crazy! It's so stupid! I love it! I love reading about it! Oh, it's awful! But I love it. Something about stories. It's like my weird Rain Man thing that I can do is remember plot lines and characters from shit I've had no business ever knowing about. So yeah, that's why I love Dota so much. It's just this playground of all this these weird stories that are somewhat interconnected that you can make your own connections to and explain everything. So
what are the main like source materials for it, because it like you said, it doesn't have like a dedicated guy like Artifact, although shouldn't Artifact cross over?
It does. Artifact definitely crosses over with Dota 2 lore in some ways, but it's also in other ways. What's really funny is how Artifact's, I don't know how much you know about the lore. You ready for a lore explanation?
Yeah, let's go.
All this garbage? All right. Mm-hmm. But basically the Dota lore is so effed up and so crazy that the Artifact guy had to figure out some kind of way where he could write a story for this game where everything could possibly be like, Jesus. There was a time where people were submitting workshop items with lore and Valve just copy-pasted it and added it to the game. Do you know how insane that is? This guy uploads a thing that just says, Axe killed the Red Mist, and then he made his new army. And they're just, and I was like, okay. Like, what? So, yeah, I mean, you asked like a half question before this one, where it's like, how do you do your research? Well, basically, every item has, heroes each have responses. All these items have item descriptions.
Right.
And there's in-game stuff. There's all this other stuff. There's stuff that's up to inferring from the map. For you new players out there, you might not know, you'll see some scratches on the ground from your tier 1 tower location on Dire. It's actually, those scratches are from where the tower used to be, and you would have never known that. But you take a look for them if you're on Dire. Anyway, so there's all these little Easter eggs that Valve puts in on top of all these different things, on top of these random items. But there's so many that it's impossible to catch up, especially when Joe Schmo item creator put in like, you know, Drow Ranger's a dude. Whoa. So the Artifact lore basically is these guys are like restarting the universe with this game, right?
Okay.
Every time that they play this game, they are making a new parallel dimension, and the sets and a lot of the different things that happen in Dota are a different dimension than what we're doing in Artifact. So this dimension in Artifact is they have messed with the timeline so much that the events in Artifact are happening, which is kind of the only way you can do it. Because if you try to actually hard be caught and explained for the Dota 2 lore, it's never going to happen. You're going to have to call up Johnny, item creator, and ask him what the army was like that Axe led. It's insane. So that's kind of how they did it in there, and it makes a lot more sense, and I think it's very cool. I love the Artifact lore. I like the Dota 1, of course, a lot more too. But, yeah, what were we talking about?
So you just kind of, you peruse all this stuff, but then how do you formulate that into theories and videos, obviously?
It is kind of connecting the dots, right? Like, spoiler alert in this next video. We have this problem where it's like Monkey King and Broodmother had a relationship. It is in the comic. They were banging.
Wait, why? What?
Yeah, it's true.
Monkey King and Broodmother.
Yeah, they used to be a romantic couple.
Oh God, it's a spider. What?
It's in the lore. Well, interestingly enough, Monkey King does have a response line that says something about like, "Oh, I can't stand you in this form." So it's almost like Broodmother has the ability maybe to switch into like, you know, different forms. You know, okay. But it doesn't matter. Anyway, how did they meet? And that's basically where the I always find myself making a Loregasm episode off of seeing something super stupid in the lore, being like, can I explain this? And then challenge myself to do all that research and then find out, yeah, I can explain this. This, oh, wait, what if this is this and this? And then there's other times where it's like, no, that was super stupid. What? But yeah, there's stuff like, and then there's stuff that Valve very intelligently put in there that I still really do believe that the original designers of Dota 2 had these kind of ideas where they wanted the direction to go and for things to mean. That first episode I did about the lore and color, I 100% believe that like each color represents something mm-hmm. different. And look at somebody like Bane, right? You ever heard the Bane Faceless Void theory?
No.
All right. So if you look at Bane, Bane is literally Faceless Void, but he is a nightmarish version based off of like all these different. So what does a god fear, right? A god doesn't fear anything except for people forgetting about them. Gods only fear not having worshipers. Gods only fear time. So they would fear these chrono dudes that come on that could erase their influence and their time. So Niktosha's nightmare is literally Bane as a elemental that kind of looks like Lashrak or Enchantress, like these elemental characters. So it's a fusion of both of those. That is 100%. I really believe that the lead designer of whoever made Valve was absolutely thinking that they were like, yeah, the gods are afraid of time. So Bane should be what a god would fear. And it's, I think that's amazing. Sometimes they don't think of anything. Like the Gemma, God, what was it? Oh, the Wind Ranger Animage comic. Sometimes it's just madness. It's just madness. Wind Ranger and Animage are in an anime and they're fighting against Dirge, the god of death. What the f*** is happening? Zombies are talking? What's happening? Stop. Stop. Oh, yeah. Excuse me, I get messed about the lore. But yeah, basically that's it. Just seeing where these dots were connected and then writing about it and making my own stories along the way to explain things that clearly were never supposed to have an explanation, and showing that with this rich world that they built and allowing us to answer our own questions, we can answer these really strange things, which is super fun. I love it.
Maybe you could consult for Valve.
Consult for what?
For the lore. They don't know what they're doing. You can clean it up.
I don't think so. Valve is, they're very much, we only want the best. We only want to find the best of the best. I don't think attaching me to any one of their you know, anyone that works at Valve, every time they do anything, they have credits and everyone that works on the company is in there. Yeah, I don't think when Half-Life 3 rolls around, you don't want to be seeing Sir Action Slacks as one of the last things on the credit roll, I'll tell you that.
Who is more knowledgeable about the lore than you? Come on.
About the lore! Probably the guy who's writing it.
Maybe.
Probably the dude who's writing Artifact's lore.
Yeah, but that's Artifact. It's different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. People kind of don't give a shit about the lore. It hurts. Yeah. Soapbreaker. I love the Soapbreaker, dude. Yeah. I thought it was the coolest innovation Dota has ever had. It was this lore-based campaign. People f***ing hated it. And it breaks my heart. It broke me. Because we could have had a Soapbreaker every month. We could have had this new lore experience. People are like, it's too hard. You're a Dota player saying it's too hard. You need to go to League, all right? It's supposed to be hard.
Feels
Soapbreaker. I miss it so much. I love them.
Aw. So what's next? Any other than Midas Woo! Mode 2, is that taking up all your time?
Jesus, what's next? Well, my wife has, she gave me a travel ban for the month of February. Okay. So people have been bugging me about, hey, we're not seeing at this tournament, you're not going to this tournament. So February, I'm done. So wife said, if you leave for another tournament, you'll come home to an empty house. So
oh, yikes.
I'm here for a bit.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm having a great time. Streaming is doing more of that. I'm finally making YouTube videos again, which is an addiction. I love making content. Really bad content is my favorite. So people are always like, where's Lorgasm? Are you sure you don't want to watch this artifact meme video? Yes, I don't want to watch that. But anyway. So yeah, what's next is definitely Midas Mode is on the forefront, making that community tournament, making that one work. It is a big question as to when it's going to be. My original idea was to have it be during spring break. That's like a month from now, so I don't think that's happening. That's definitely on my forefront. Other stuff is probably. Well, no spoiler here, because you guys already know that I did this last year, but hopefully trying to work on stuff for this year's TI. I don't know how that will work, but definitely going to try to do that again and be caught up with that. Of course, events. Can't announce what events I've been invited to, but we'll be doing that. And just the future, man. I mean, Dota's on the rise, you know? Thank you, Auto Chess. You know, everyone talking the Chinese earlier this year. They saved the game, dumbasses, all right? Got them.
Truly, truly saved the game.
Should have prayed to him. Anyway, so I don't know. Have you played Auto Chess, by the way? Have you?
I'm so bad, dude. I'm so bad.
I didn't even watch that, bro. I've never even seen a game. I've never touched it. Okay, I'm a Dota purist.
Wow,
that's right. That's right. Auto Chess is for people that are afraid to play Artifact. Artifact is for people that are afraid to play Dota. Dota is for people that are afraid of their real lives. It's all a system, and I'm right in the middle. I'm not a artifact, a Dota chesser just yet. So.
I have no insight into it. I played like 3 games, and I was like, all right, I don't have time to learn all these different things about how the different heroes interact. I'm done learning.
I hear it's pretty good.
It is good.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I don't know. I think Dota is on a rise. It's confident to say that for the first time in a couple of years.
Yeah, true.
I think that Dota's been on this kind of, you know, very slow, but a little decline of players leaving and stuff. But Artifact coming out, I hear a lot of stories about people that tried that game, and they're like, well, this is not what I want, but the lore is cool. And then with the Dota, a lot of people from Auto Chess are giving Dota a shot. So we're on the up and up.
Yeah.
Let's hope the TI9 is... you know, good.
Yeah, my buddy actually came over the other day because he got into Dota through Dota Chess, so I walked him through a bot game. Yeah.
Shit, it begins. Now, don't forget, everyone listening, that is your solemn duty. Any poor bastard who has been exposed to Dota through Dota Chess, your job, as someone who's addicted to this hell, to drag them down with you, okay? Get them into one game, get the shit kicked out of them, get them mad about it. Yell at your best friend. God, you were awful at that game. Don't call them back. Then that's the hook.
Yeah.
You got them.
Then tell them to come to the We Like Dota Discord. We're
that's
all
right.
Really bad. We're geared towards 2K and below. And we'll play bots. We don't care. We'll do it.
Yeah. But you guys like Dota.
Yeah,
The place isn't called We're Good at Dota.
No. Mm-mm.
Or we have any interest in improving at Dota.
No.
We like Dota.
We like it. We like it a lot.
I like that. Thank you. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. It's always good to talk to somebody. You got any spicy questions? You got anything you were too scared to ask?
Oh.
I'll answer anything, dude. I don't give a shit.
No, I knew you'd do whatever. We do have some community quick hitter. Yeah, you're down.
Okay.
Quick hitter questions. Favorite, Dora the Destroyer wants to know what your favorite cosmetic is.
My favorite cosmetic is a, that's a toughie. I used to always say the Drow Cat set. seriously, because it is something that people laugh at and they're like, oh my god, it was weeb ass garbage drow cat. It's actually a really cool story. If you look back when the drow set came out, they remodeled Luna's mount. It used to be that really ugly lion, and now they gave it a fresh new one, and the set came out at the same time. They didn't say anything about this, but if you read the set's thing, it says that, you know, she was hunting in the woods, and Luna's woods, and she slayed this giant cat. So basically Valve explains the remodel for Luna's old model. Drow not only killed it, but found out that it was Luna's cat and wore an outfit with its corpse to fuck with Luna in their next battle. If that's not the coolest goddamn thing I've ever... In what video game is that canon? That one character murdered another one's best friend and wore them to the next battle to fuck with them. Holy shit. That is so lit, dude.
That's a big time power move.
Yeah, that's big right there.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Slanging that thing around.
Slang. I'll tell you my least favorite set.
Yes, please.
It's a hairpiece made for Windranger by a random community member that gave her elf ears. Elf ear. It's the only one. So you took it upon yourself, random community member, to make Windranger a fucking elf. That's just it? You change her race? And then Val's like, okay, let's throw it in there. There's plenty of hairs without the elf ears. But now how do we explain that? Thank you so much for making that. Elf ear. Why? Why did you do this? The other sets.
That's awesome.
There's some that are really funny to me. Like the, there's one, I don't know. All the ones I got entered in that have, like, workshop creator written lore crack me up. There's just madness. Some guy writes in, like, on the highest peaks of Garthel Mountains, the songsmiths work tirelessly in their wind. What the f*** are you talking about? What? None of these people will ever be mentioned again. Anyway. but right now my favorite set is the, I like these techies sets, dude.
Yes.
I know, I'm a big techies boy.
Yes.
But I think techies actually has the most available areas to mod on his base model. And you're just seeing such cool creative innovations with these techos. I love it.
He went from literally zero wearable sets to like a ton of really good ones.
Yeah, they've completely changed everything about him. They add so much character to him. Very hard to describe in the lore why he is the Nutcracker, but very cool set.
Well, this actually leads into next question. Titus Andromedon wants to know, what do you think of the current state of techies?
Techies! You know, a fun story. When I was at Valve, the beta testers, the guys who make most of the changes with Ice Frog, they came up to me and they said, hey, what do you think about techies? And I said, ooh, I mean, I think we can all agree super bad right now. I mean, he just needs a buff. I mean, he's just garbage. He's worthless. Meanwhile, the whole time, I'm laughing, bro. Techies is broke, baby. Buff his ass, bro. Give me some more of that. People don't know how to play techies. People get tranquil boots. They think that they're, oh, I'm going to run around in suicide and live. You don't live through suicide, baby. Take yourself out, okay?
Full mana.
Techies Full is region. All about, he can do the only, one of the only things any hero could ever do in that game. No one else can do it. Techies can kill the biggest, baddest hard carry on the enemy team without dying randomly alone. No other hero can do that. Every hero has to put themselves in some situation of danger. It is his strongest suit, and people don't realize that. Every single Techies game I play, I just make this big-ass pile for the level 25 Animage that has been gang-busting our team for 50 minutes. We kill him on dieback, we win the game.
There you
it's
go.
It's a meta hero. You gotta be a smart boy. You gotta be an evil boy, but you gotta be a smart boy. And Techies has never been stronger for being a smart boy. Movement speed, mana regen, reduction on remote mines. Oh! Keep buffing him, you idiots!
Oh, man. You're all wound up. Incredible.
I taught Aoi 2000 everything he knows. TI6 DC. That's me, baby. Techies is back. You're talking to the authority.
All isn't right? PPD's brother good at Techies?
RoboVice is actually the teacher of Aoi 2000. But he did watch my VODs. I'm not lying. He said it in an interview. Anyway, RoboVice is the authority on top-tier Techies. There's also that South American guy. I forget his name. But
I'm not sure.
He is top tier.
He's top tier.
Just kidding. Keep buffing him. Keep buffing him, Ice Frog, please. I love free games.
Beelucked has a question about your name. He wants to know, are you really knighted? And if so, what deed and accomplishments led to get you knighted?
Yes, I am actually knighted. I get this question once in a while. When I stuck with the name came from me and my friends had Halo 2. We bought it, and we stayed up all night. We ordered 7 pizzas. We had an all-nighter in my room, and we all decided we bought Xbox Live, and we said we'd all come up with our gamer tags by the end of the night. So we made a list. And it was a coin flip between Sir Action Slacks and 69.
Thank
God it landed on heads, or my pro career would be a lot harder than what it is right now.
Would be tough.
Yes. So, hold on. What was the question? I forgot already.
What did you do to earn the
name? Right. So I got Sir Action Slacks was my name. Then we thought it would be really funny. And at the time, Sealand was still around. You know what Sealand is?
Mm-mm.
So Sealand was this hacker paradise made off of an old World War II base of operations in the middle of the ocean. Basically, it was like a landing pad where the U.S. could stage attacks in the Pacific. These hackers bought it, and they made it into this paradise where they made their own, like, country and laws. And you can used to go online and submit a form and pay these hackers $20, and they would knight you. And the whole place burned down in a horrible accident. Oh, a lot of people died.
What?
The whole thing went up in flames, quite literally. But before Sealand was destroyed, I did send them some $20 to get knighted. So, yes. I am indeed a sir under the great... It was recognized, I believe, by governments as its own thing. So the British government did recognize it. I am a sir for $20. Not a lot of people know, but rest in peace, Sealand, and all you anonymous hackers. Good job, guys.
That's value right there. $20. Good deal.
The Principality of Sealand. Oh, wow. They actually rebuilt it. I'm looking at a picture right now. Ooh, it ain't looking good. It ain't looking good, but it's still my old home.
Oh my goodness.
Do a little Google search on Sealand.
Yeah, yeah.
She ain't looking good.
Oh man, this thing is rugged.
You see the picture of one guy? Oh. It's so small. It's just a gal. God bless you, Sealand.
Okay, alright. What are your favorite audio effects in Dota?
Whoa, man! I'm eating the waffle. Oh, man, I love the Dota audio effects. You know, for the last international, I submitted a proposal for do content about sound design in Dota. I'm fascinated with the Foley work in Dota 2. It is incredible. There was no other game where you could have your eyes closed and listen to a team fight and know exactly what's happening. Mm. It's crazy. Try doing that in Overwatch. I dare you. It's hot. Yeah, yes, nobody fight. What the fuck? Shut up. I can't hear anything. Dota 2 is great. You can hear everything. You know exactly what's happening on it. It's fascinating to me. There are so many good ones. The ting from when Sniper gets a headshot is fun. And the whole assassination sound, the black hole sound, everything's just so memorable, distinct, and interesting in the game. I love it. I love it so much. You know what I don't like? Here's the answer. The mega creeps noise. Holy shit, turn it down a little bit, all right? I know I got mega creeps. I don't need to hear a gong in my goddamn ear at times 10. I got it. I did that. I know that we got mega creeps. Maybe if you get mega creeped, it should put a big ass gong. Maybe it should just have like Perian Flax's voice. You got, they took your creeps. Stop. Stop what you're doing. But I don't need an alert for when I get mega creeps. Thank you very much. Unnecessary.
So, yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Anyway, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I think the ancients should scream. I think that when you hit it, it should go, ah! Now, that would make people want to actually hit the goddamn thing for once in their lives instead of diving the fountain. So,
we need all the help we can get.
It's true.
Well, that's all I got. I think that's it. Yeah. Thanks so much for doing it. You want to shout anybody out while you're here? All three people are listening?
Shout out to I don't know. Shout out to you three listening. Shout out to the Dota community. Keep on keeping on, boys. Shout out, you know what? Moment of seriousness. Shout out to you guys. We like Dota. This community is so full of toxic people just trying to get better and paying people to raise their accounts so they can smurf and shit. Good on you for actually liking Dota and enjoying being around each other. Well done to you. Shout out to you. We love Dota community.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Yeah. We just want to make a nice little corner of the internet where people are nice. That's really all we want.
That's very difficult. Good luck. It's probably going to end up like Sealand.
Thanks. Thanks, Slax. Appreciate that. Everything you do is going to end up in flames. Great.
Good. Hey, you can rebuild.
Great. All right, folks. We'll talk to you next time. Sir Action Slax, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.